last days of Pesach, we have Shmuel Beis in the Haftorah for day 7, I believe it is. Shmuel Beis, Chaf Beis, Pesach Aleph. Vayedaber David LaHashem es divrei Hashem hazos biyom yetzi al Hashem oso mikaf kol evav mikaf Shaul. David HaMelech said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the words of this Shira on the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved him from the hands of all of his enemies and from the hands of Shaul HaMelech. We're not sure exactly when this took place, when David HaMelech sang this song. Rashi, Radak, Mitzudas, David all say he composed it toward the end of his life, at the very end when he'd been saved from all of his enemies, and he put together one song that really referred to everything. And that's why it's placed at the end of Shmuel Beis, at the end of David HaMelech's life, right before his death. Right? But after he had already stopped going to war. At that point, that's when he wrote this up together. Mitzudas David in his second answer, the Abarbanel and the Malbim, all say this is made when he was much younger, when he was being pursued by Shaul HaMelech and all the different things that were happening when things in his life were not so easy for him. And he was constantly being saved in miraculous ways from one thing for the other after one another. So he composed this song of thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say every time a miracle occurred. And he kept improving on it. He kept saying it again and again and again as time went on. And that's this is the only one of David HaMelech's Zmiros that made it into Sefer Shmuel, since it was something that he said constantly. It wasn't just like a one-time thing that he sang a Zemer and he said something. No. This was the Zemer of David HaMelech. His official thing. And that's why he makes it into Shmuel Beis. No other Zmiros make it, but this one makes it. Targum Yonasan says he made this Al Kol Yomai Deshez of Hashem. It's an interesting little line over here, but regardless, Targum Yonasan. There are other Prakim of Tehillim, which David HaMelech composed based on being saved from his enemies. So there is Perek Gimel, was when he got away from Avshalom. Perek Nun Aleph, after he was hiding from when Nasan and Avi had said that he had done something wrong with Bathsheba and with Uriah Chiti. Perek Nun Dalid, when the Zifim told Shaul HaMelech where he was hiding and was able to get away from them anywhere. Anyway, either way, this song, which appears not only in Shmuel Beis, but also in Perek Yud Ches in Tehillim. It's Yud Ches in Tehillim as well, with about 70 differences that are spoken about in Maseches Sofrim. It's very different, because it really refers to everything in a klalius way, in a general way. It doesn't refer to any specific thing that he got away from. And therefore, it becomes something just more different from any other Tehillim. And that's the reason why it's put at the end of Shmuel Beis, and why we sing it on the seventh day of Pesach. Because when you go through a general idea of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us and how he saved us, this is the idea behind it. This is what we get to. The Mi'am always suggests that really David HaMelech continued to compose this song throughout his entire life. And toward the end, he realized that these songs can be used by the general public. Tehillim was not, in his days, a book that he had given out to people so that people could read while he was still alive. It was only toward the end when he realized, says the Mi'am Loez, people could use this for themselves. They could use it whenever they want. When people are being persecuted by their enemies and they're trying to run away, they could say Perek Gimel. When they're betrayed by their old friends, they could say Nun Dalet. When a person is sick, they could do Mem Aleph. I know we always do Kuf Lamed and Kuf Chaf Aleph, but Mem Aleph is also about somebody being sick. He did write this song, says the Mi'am Loez, earlier in his life. But he went back and rewrote it toward the end of his life. So it's really all the answers together, the Radak, the Ralbag, the Malbim, the Abarbanel, putting all together, that was rewritten into Tehillim Yud Ches. So it was written more generally speaking, so that people could start using it. In Shmuel Beis, we have the version that's more personal, where David HaMelech says, this is what happened to me, this is how I lived my, what happened to me when I got away from this and when I got away from that. In Tehillim, it's the more general form that other people could have, so that they could go through and maybe purposely changed it so that other people could use it whenever they want to. Another possibility as to what the difference is between Tehillim Yud Ches and this song over here that we say in Shmuel Beis is it depends on how he wrote it. That the Mi'am Loez says this was the pure Ruach HaKodesh version, which Hashem granted to him at the time. The Tehillim version, he says, was the musical accompaniment version. It's the version that really has musical instruments involved with it, and it's more song form as opposed to Ruach HaKodesh filled. This was the Nevuah in Shmuel Beis, and the one in Tehillim is a song. So it's written as a song would be. Maybe that's the idea behind it. To explain this a bit better, there's a different answer. Yeah. What's
up? In Shmuel Beis, is it like a shira?
They're both shiros. But Tehillim obviously is entirely shiritic. Shmuel Beis, the way it's written as a shira, like Uz Yashir. You know, with the little lines and the bricks, etc.
Why can't they both be like the same, like, song version?
They could be, but there's different words. There's clear differences between, again, 70 differences between them. 73, I think it is altogether. So why would it have all those differences? This might be the reason why, even though they're technically both songs itself. Truth is, I was confused about this for a while, and then I found the Rav Yonason and Eibshitz in his Avas Yehonason has a piece on this. He has a sefer just on Haftorahs. So this Haftorah appears twice. We say it by it's not by Bishalach. I think by Hazinu. I don't remember if it's Hazinu or Bishalach. I can't remember. Hazinu or Bishalach. Can't remember which one. But it's also obviously the seventh day of Pesach, which is why we're doing it now. So in Avos Yehonason, in the seventh day of Pesach, he quotes the tefillah that we say every Rosh Hashanah. Hayom haras olam. You know that when they blow the shofar, we say Hayom haras olam, Hayom yamid bamishpat. Right? And in that song, we say in kivvanim. If we're like children, then have mercy on us like a father has for their children. But even kavadim, if we're like slaves, if we're like servants, right, still take care of us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and don't let us die. That's what we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In kivanim, in kavadim itself. There is a mila that a child has over an eved. There's a mila that an eved has over a child. The mila that a child has over an eved is simple. Obviously, the father has more mercy on his kid than he does over his eved. If his son sins, he'll punish him, but it'll be a punishment with mercy. If an eved sins, then it's a punishment with more, I guess you could say, more force. So how could you? The eved, he feels more, and it's different in that way. But on the other hand, an eved is a mile over a child. A child does not get to be in the king's palace while the king is working. The eved doesn't get full disclosure of everything that goes on in the kingdom. The son still has to stand on the outside, and when the king wants him to come in, the king will let him in. But the Eved bathes the king, gives him a haircut, does whatever the king needs. He's able to get closer than a son ever could to the king himself. The Eved will have the keys to the king's treasury. The son will not have that. The son knows what the treasuries are, may even inherit them, but it's different. So says Rav Yonason and Eibshitz, there's a difference between nevuah, prophecy, and Ruach HaKodesh. A spirit where you get a little bit of holiness and you get something a little bit more. It says the following. A Navi is able to take potential and turn it into koach, into something real, into a divor. He's able to make it into something. When he says it out loud, he's able to do something which we wouldn't... amazing! He's able to tell us stuff that we've never heard before. But he might not fully understand what he's doing. He's not given the secrets behind what he's saying. He's just telling you, this is what's going to be. And when you ask, why? Why is it going to be that way? The Navi says, I don't know. I can just tell you what Hashem told me, but I can't tell you more than that. He's got a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a closeness that's there and a greatness and awesomeness there, but there's something missing. Ruach HaKodesh means you're able to understand things on a much deeper level. You may not get to say it out loud. You may not even be able to say it in the right way. You might not be able to take it out from your brain. But you can be masik things. You can understand things that no one else could get. In Megillah Daf Gimel, right, it says that Daniel was not a Navi. But he was still in a way greater than his friends. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. He was greater than Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. Why was he greater than them? Because Daniel was able to be masig things. He was able to understand things that Hanani, Mishael, Azariah weren't able to see. Hanani, Mishael, Azariah were full-blown Nevi'im. They were actual Nevi'im. They had Nevuahs. They spoke them out. Daniel never had a Nevuah. But on the other hand, Daniel was able to understand things that they could not get. He was able to translate dreams. He was able to see visions. But he didn't say it to the people.
They both have to be Tamidi Chachamim.
Tremendous Tamidi Chachamim to get on that level. But in certain ways, Daniel's greater than Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. Hanani, Mishael, Azariah greater than Daniel. In certain ways, each one has their thing. We see from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that Ksuvim are actually more Chashuv than Nevi'im. Now, how is that so? When you have the Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros on Rosh Hashanah, when we go through all the Malchus Zichronos, I think it's a Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Beis, Lamed Aleph. We go through all the Pesukim of Malchus Zichronos and Shofros. The way we read the Pesukim is always Torah first, then Ksuvim, then Nevi'im. Now why is Ksuvim before Nevi'im? Wouldn't you think it goes Torah, then Yoshua, Shoftim, etc. That's Nevi'im and then Ksuvim. But ksuvim are written, the psukim that we have, are written before the Nevi'im themselves. Why is that so? Why does the Gemara say that we should read it that way? In every machzor, you have it that way. You have the ksuvim before the Nevi'im. In fact, Tosfos says it could be the ksuvim should be on top of Nevi'im for that reason. The ksuvim actually is more koshub than Nevi'im. Why is it? Again, it's the same idea. Ksuvim were written with Ruach HaKodesh. The Nevi'im were written with Nevuah. In a way, Ruach HaKodesh is greater than Nevuah. Sure, the Nevuah is greater at the time because the Navi is telling you straight out what you would need to see. But in a way, Ruach HaKodesh is greater, which means Ksuvim has something greater than anything else there. And therefore, in a way, Tehillim, Mishlei, Shir HaShirim, Koalas, even Esther is greater than any of the Nevi'im that we have. Because that Ruach HaKodesh that a person can get could be unbelievable. So to answer our question, Tehillim and Shmuel Beis. Tehillim obviously is in Ksuvim. Shmuel Beis is in Nevi'im. Says Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz. It could be there were two types of inspiration that hit David HaMelech. One was put in Nevi'im because he didn't fully understand the vision he was given. He just wrote down what Hashem told him. He wrote it down, and what we read as our Haftorah, what we have in Shmuel Beis, is the version that God gave him. Later on, he had some type of Ruach HaKodesh that went inside him, some crazy bout of Ruach HaKodesh. And the Ruach HaKodesh allowed him to say something that he never understood before. Now he understands it. Now he gets it. And that's why it's worded differently. In Navi, it's written Vayedaber David. The wording that we have over here is Vayedaber David LaHashem as Divir Hashir Azos. He spoke it out because this is what God told me to do, so I'm going to do it. In the Ksuvim, in Tehillim, he wrote LeEved Hashem LeDavid. For the Eved of Hashem, for David himself. Although he's only an Eved, not a Ben, he's an Eved. But there's a mila to Avdus that nobody else has. And that's the awesomeness that he had over here. It could be that's what he was able to get. That's a crazy awesome answer. But tell me, was David HaMelech really a Navi? According to this Rabbi Yonis Naibshitz, certainly he was. He was a Navi. There were times where he had Nevuah, times where he had Ruach HaKodesh. If he had Ruach HaKodesh, it went into Tehillim. And if he had Nevuah, it went into Shmuel Beis. But he was a Navi. And if you look in the Gemara Megillah, where it mentions that there were 70 Nevi'im in Klal Yisrael that came around the Klal Yisrael, so on the side of the page, I don't remember if Rashi brings it, but on the side of the page, Rav Nisim Gon, I think it is, quotes that David HaMelech was one of those 70 Nevi'im, that he is one of the 70 people altogether. Rashi, in Moed Kot and Daf Tes Zayin Amabez, says the same thing. Divrei David. Divrei David means he had a Nevuah, because Nevuah is referred to as Devarim. So therefore he says, yes, he was a Navi, it's a Navi himself. The Ritva argues, says that's not a proof. He doesn't say whether he's a Navi or not, but it's not a proof. Could be he was a Navi, could be he's not a Navi, but he doesn't say anything at all. Yeah. Rashi and the both bring down David HaMelech, you mean? Yeah, Rashi brings it down also? Is the Rabbeinu Chanan or Rav Nisim going in Megillah? Yeah. It's the Rach? So it's both. So it's Rashi and Rabbeinu Chanan both bring down David HaMelech. So clearly it was a Navi, according to both of them. But then comes Rambam and Mori Nevuchim. Rambam and Mori Nevuchim, Chelek Beis Sif Memhe. Now, I haven't quoted this in this shir. I do have a shir out there that's entirely on this Mori Nevuchim. I don't remember where it is. It was over the past year, but I don't know if it was taped for something. It's not on Torah Anytime, and I don't think it's on my website either, but somebody has it somewhere. It could be like YU Cole has it from something that I gave to them. I don't remember. I'm sorry? Yeah, I have. So I'm not positive which one, where it is exactly, but I have an entire shir based on this. Chelek Beis Sif Memhe. There are 10 different levels of Nevuah, says the Rambam. But not everyone who has one of these levels can be called a Navi. You're not just a Navi because you get a level of Nevuah. There are levels. And eventually you could be called something. Maybe colloquially you could be called a Navi because, oh, he's a Navi. He has a level of Nevuah. But he doesn't really have a level of Nevuah and he's not really a Navi. Says the Rambam, it's a misnomer to call somebody who has these levels a Navi until you get to a very, very high level like a Moshe Rabbeinu or something like that. The other people just aren't Nevi'im. So he says, the first level is receiving a Ruach Elokim. If you look throughout Shoftim, you'll see like Gidon had a Ruach Elokim, Shimshon had a Ruach Elokim, Yiftach had a Ruach Elokim, and they fought their wars, and they won every single one of their wars. David HaMelech had a Ruach Elokim, Shaul HaMelech had a Ruach Elokim. All of those examples, says the Rambam, is the lowest level of Nevuah possible. Ruach Elokim, in which you get a spirit in which you win a war. You don't have to be a massive Talmid Chacham to get that. That could happen to absolutely anyone. Anyone could get it if divine inspiration hits him at that time, if he's doing something for Klal Yisrael, if he's doing something. In theory, right, you could have a soldier in the Israeli army who's not from to get a Ruach Elokim, to win a war, to do something for Klal Yisrael. That could happen. That's a Ruach Elokim that has nothing to do with it. Oh, I remember where it is. Might be on Torah anytime. It's that shit that I gave for Purim.
Last year?
Yeah, no, this past year. I remember. That's where I said part of it over there. I didn't say the whole thing. But that's number one. The second level is being able to compose amazing poetry or Divrei Torah that eventually make it into Tanakh itself. That happens right over there. And this, again, David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech would be great examples of this. Tehillim, Mishlei, Shir HaShirim, Koheles, anything that you write in that way could be, it's a form of Nivua, lower level Nivua, like Ruach HaKodesh, but it's Ruach HaKodesh that you get to be able to put this together. Says the Rambam, and that's it for David HaMelech. The Abar Ben El explains that the Rambam said it specifically this way to tell you that David HaMelech was never a Navi. He was never a Navi. He was only getting Ruach HaKodesh. He was only getting this little bit of Ruach HaKodesh. Him and his son Shlomo, they were never Nevi'im, even though they're called Nevi'im. Even though they're called Nevi'im, it's not really. They're not really Nevi'im. They never got past that second level of Ruach HaKodesh. They never went further than that. So according to the Rambam, he argues in that Rabbi Yonos and Ipshitz that we just mentioned, he wouldn't say that this is Nevuah, the one in Shmuel Beis, and the other one in Tehillim is Ruach HaKodesh. No. There's no Nevuah by David HaMelech. It's all Ruach HaKodesh, and the second to lowest level of Ruach HaKodesh. So you would say that's not the difference between them. Now, there are other Rishonim, the Meiri, who normally always goes with the Rambam. The Meiri says in his introduction to Tehillim that although it's clear many of the words of Tehillim refer to things in the future, their visions about the future, it's possible that David was never a Navi because he was never sent to tell this over to Klal Yisrael. He might have had Nevuos, if that makes sense, had visions of what was going to be. That doesn't make him a Navi. A Navi is someone who's sent to Klal Yisrael, and David HaMelech was never sent to tell over a version of anything to Klal Yisrael. God HaChoze, Nasan HaNavi, told him Nevuos, but he never had one. Yes?
But his words are probably more than anything else.
Without a question. And that's why we're calling.
There to tell people.
Ruach HaKodesh can still be higher than a Navi. I think even the Rambam would agree with this, that although Ruach HaKodesh is a lower level of Nevuah, that doesn't mean the Ruach HaKodesh can't be greater. I still think we're going with Rabbi Yonos and Ipshitz.
That will never happen to anybody ever again.
See, I don't know.
Right, because you can't add to Tanakh.
The way the Rambam writes it, we really have to, it's hard to be medayik in Mori Nevuchim, because we don't know the translation, and it's weird. It's weird to be medayik in Mori Nevuchim. But the wording of the Rambam seems to indicate that people can even get that today. That these are levels you can get to. But the truth is, the Rambam seems to say that all levels of Nevuah you could still get today. So I'm not sure he would argue about that at all.
The Chazal already...
They seal Tanakh, right. They seal Tanakh. That doesn't mean that another Sefer couldn't be written.
But it wouldn't be
maybe.
Part of
it wouldn't be part of our Tanakh. But maybe there's another Sefer that could be written. And if you have something that's like that, then maybe Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, who wrote so many of the poetry that we have for the Kinos and for all these different things that we have, all the Musafos, the Yotzros, etc., it could be the Rabbi Elazar HaKalir had a form of Ruach HaKodesh. And somehow that exists even today. Like somehow we have Rabbi Elazar HaKalir as a Shiloh when he lived. But let's say he wasn't a Tana. Let's say he was one of the Gaonim, right? Still, there's some amazing things that he wrote within there. And therefore it's possible that we can still get it. I don't know if it's likely, but it's still possible. Rav Avram, the son of the Rambam. Rav Avram, son of the Rambam, interestingly enough, says in his Sefer, Megillah Storim Melchames Hashem, anyone claiming that David and Shlomo were not Nevi'im is a sinner, he says. He's Rav Avram, the son of the Rambam. And he gives proofs that they are absolutely Nevi'im. But again, that's not a proof against the Rambam. Because the truth is, maybe he means that they just had higher levels of Ruach HaKodesh, not that they were actual Nevi'im. We don't know what he means by that.
You said the first two levels are a level of Nevi'im.
Level of Nevuah, right. So when he says, if you say they're not Nevi'im, you're wrong and you're a sinner, you're a chote, right? I don't think he's saying that about his dad, about the Rambam. He's just saying that you have to say they have something, but you can't say they have nothing, and therefore he's going with the Rambam.
He's clarifying what his father's position was.
See, I would have thought that way, and I would have said, because of that, my thought process was, if Rav Avram's saying that, then clearly the Rambam also holds that they were Nevi'im and they were actual Navis, right? That's what I always thought. When I went through Mori Nevuchim, that's what I thought. But the Abar Ben El says, and the Abar Ben El, I'm not going to say he's the absolute expert. Obviously, Rav Avram, son of the Rambam, would be one of the biggest experts, but the Abar Ben El is very clear that that was Pshat in the Rambam. That he's saying David HaMelech is not a Navi, and you can't call him a Navi. So even if Rav Avram would say he is a Navi, maybe that's an argument between the two. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. This is clearly a machlokas, and I personally was going the other way around. Rav Yonasan Eibschitz was also huge into the Rambam. Look through Crazy Uplasi, and I haven't been through the whole Crazy Uplasi, but every time I see the Crazy Uplasi of Rav Yonasan Eibschitz, he's quoting the Rambam. It's all over. He's going into different parts of the Rambam himself. I find it very difficult. Again, it could be he didn't agree with this part of Mori Nevuchim. I just find it weird that Rav Yonasan didn't even quote the Rambam to say the Rambam argues with this, but etc. Who knows? But yeah.
Why is it
Why Chote? I would assume it's because the same way that the way the Gemara says in Shabbos Nun Hey Kola Omer David Chote Chata. Anybody who says that David sinned Eino Elatoa, he's mistaken. I think it's just a play on words, you know, poetically, where he's saying like Eino Elachote, he's only a Chote. I think that's the wording of Rambam of the Rambam. So that's that. The Mi'am Lewes says, Chazal, tell us, not everyone can just compose a song and automatically it's considered like Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh, a special source of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, the Gemara says very clearly, we're not allowed to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the wrong way. Like, we can say HaKel, HaGadol, HaGibor, VaHanora, because Moshe Rabbeinu said that. But we can't add on. We can't add on Adir, VaChazak, VaAzuz, etc. We can't add on praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we're not allowed to do something like that. When someone's saved from a tragedy through a great miracle, says Mi'am Lewes, then anything he composes can become a tremendous song worthy of being written down for all time. And when he does so, his sins are forgiven because he's a brand new person because of what he just went through. It's like he was born again when he composes a song after being saved. When Bnei Yisrael were saved at the Yam Suf and they sang Az Yashir, they were forgiven for all their sins because they were on such a high level. They saw the Shekhinah with their very own eyes. The same is true by Devorah and Barak when they sang their song after being saved from Sisra's army, etc., and the army was defeated right in front of them. This song as well allowed for all of David HaMelech's sins to be forgiven, and especially if it was toward the end of his life. When he said it, right, he immediately allowed for his sins to be gone. They were destroyed, and it's like he's starting off. And that's why right after this parak, where it says this in Parakav Beis, in Parakav Gimel, it says, Daber David is Divrei Achronim, the last words of his life. And the Gemara asks, Divrei Achronim, what are the Divrei Rishonim? The Gemara over there in Moi Katan asks it. It's as if this is a brand new David HaMelech that we do not have anymore, that we're no longer there. Of course, he was fasting his whole life. He was fasting for 13 years for what happened with Bathsheba and Uriah. But nonetheless, his health was even waned because, and we all know, toward the end of his life, he couldn't even become warm because he had fasted for 13 years of his life to try to be forgiven, right? And he only ate at night and he only ate on Shabbos in order to get forgiven. But even so, this was part of the process of tshuva. It culminated with this amazing shira. And that's why it's so important to say, we come to Shvi Yishol Pesach and we're singing about what happened with Kriyas Yam Suf. Our immediate reaction should not just be Az Yashar, it should be anything that happened to us. When miracles happen to us, we should compose a song of our own praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it, and that helps us get a full mechila. So we do that on the seventh day itself. Sholem Melech. Why is Sholem Melech pointed out among all the other enemies? In other words, there are some, like Avshalom is a pretty clear one in Paragimel. The Zifim are mentioned, obviously. But there's not too many other enemies of David Melech that are mentioned throughout Tehillim. Right? Again, you'd have to go through all the way through. But how many other people are mentioned by name? Sholem Melech is a weird one. Why does it go through? And Miyamoy says, Sholem Melech did to David what no other enemy was able to do, even Avshalom. Avshalom kicked David HaMelech out of his house and was together with his concubines, his 10 concubines. Kicked him out of his house completely. David HaMelech had to cross the Jordan River, but he still stayed in Eretz Yisrael. He never left the land of Reuven and Gad, and he was still in Eretz Yisrael itself. But that was David HaMelech. That was David HaMelech when he was still around over there. When Shaul fought him, he had to escape to Moab, to Ammon, to the Plishim. He had to leave Eretz Yisrael. For the first time, and possibly the only time in his life, because even when he fought the wars against Aram Tzova, he made that part of Eretz Yisrael. He had to leave Eretz Yisrael, and he even says out loud in Perakah Vav Pasuk Yotes, he laments the fact that he had to leave Eretz Yisrael. He laments it. He says, I can't believe I had to leave at some point in Shmuel Aleph. Never did he have to leave. He was willing to fight any nation that stood up in his way, but he wouldn't fight against Shaul HaMelech because he didn't want to fight against the anointed one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, David HaMelech was there. He was sitting there and saying, I can't believe I haven't been able to, I had to leave because of Shaul HaMelech. And therefore, when he was saved and he was able to stay in Eretz Yisrael without any problems, he thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it, and that was the praise. But Moed Katan Tazayim Abayis says that David HaMelech composed the song, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately said to him, David, are you singing Shira because you defeated Shaul HaMelech because Shaul HaMelech is dead? Had you been Shaul, right? Had you been Shaul, and Shaul would have been David, I would have destroyed you many times over for him. It's a weird line, right? Had you been Shaul, and Shaul been you, I would have destroyed you for Shaul many times over. It's a very, very weird line. What exactly does it mean over here? He, by the way, because he said that, he actually forgave himself for it. In Parak Zion, he said, Shigayim l'David. He made a shogig. He did something wrong. Asher Shor l'Hashem, that he had sung a song, Al Divrei Kush Ben Yamini, about Shaul HaMelech. Kush Ben Yamini is a reference to the Binyaminite Kush, referring to Shaul HaMelech himself, because he felt bad that he had said it. That's what the Gemara ends off with over there in Moed Katan. So how does this understand? How do we understand this line? So Rashi explains this line, and he says the following. He says, if you were under his mazel, if you were born under his mazel, and he was born under your mazel, right? If the mazels would have been switched, then you never would have lasted this long. Because he's a tzaddik gomer, and you're not. That's what he said to David HaMelech. Crazy, right? Said, he's a tzaddik gomer. That's the wording of Rashi. Shaul is a tzaddik gomer. You're not a tzaddik gomer. You're not a tzaddik gomer. So I would have destroyed you over. The Tosfos, Rush, and Ran on the spot says that Hashem was telling David, you think you're a chassid? You think you're a chassid? Shaul HaMelech is 1,000 times the chassid that you are. He's the chassid. You're not. So it's the mazel that saved you. The mazel that you're under that allowed you to become king. But if it was, if not for the mazel, Shaul HaMelech would have been able to kill you 1,000 times over. And that's what it means. It's a weird line. The Marsha doesn't like this at all. Mazel saved David HaMelech? Mazel? It's all that, a mazel Yisrael. We hold there's no mazel for B'nai Yisrael. That's number one. Number two, to assume that David HaMelech was saved from Shaul HaMelech because his mazel was good mazel? How could you say such a thing? He can't understand it. But Tosas, Rush, the Ran, and Rashi all say the exact same thing. That he was a tzaddik. So Marsha goes on and says, Shaul HaMelech did one thing wrong, but he never did tshuva for it. Right? If you remember, the two things that he did wrong were both the same problem. He wouldn't destroy Agag, king of Amalek, and he didn't destroy their animals, even though Shmuel and Avi told him to, and he didn't wait for Shmuel and Avi to bring the korbanos that he was supposed to wait for at mitzvah. But he didn't wait. He brought the korbanos anyway. Those were all issues because he was influenced by the people. The people influenced him, and even though he's the king and he should have said, no, listen to me, we're waiting, he didn't do that, or we're killing them. He didn't do that, and therefore he was punished. David HaMelech did two horrible things wrong. David obviously killed Uriah Hiti and was together with Bathsheba when she possibly was a married woman. Even though he did tshuva on it for the rest of his life, for 13 years of his life, he did tshuva on it. Nonetheless, says the Marsha, right, he did do two horrible things wrong. So says the Marsha, that's pshat. Had David been Shaul and Shaul been David, meaning, had Shaul done tshuva like David HaMelech, and had David not done tshuva like Shaul HaMelech, you would have been killed many times over, right, because of Shaul HaMelech, because his tshuva would have allowed him to be a tzaddik for much, much longer. Had he done tshuva properly, it would have been fine. That's the way the Marsha understands it.
What did you just say? That you just like that was like the way Karmani over there.
It's weird. Shaul HaMelech didn't do tshuva. David HaMelech did tshuva. So what he said was, if David HaMelech would have been Shaul and not done tshuva for the two things he did wrong,
Shaul HaMelech had the mila of David HaMelech and done tshuva like
exactly.
That.
And Shaul would have been like David that he did tshuva over the one thing. Then David HaMelech never would have become king, and Shaul HaMelech would have been there.
Taking that, hey, I'm
I'm better than this guy?
No, that this don't think that you're better than Shaul HaMelech because you made it and Shaul didn't. Shaul only had one thing wrong, and had he done tshuva, he would have been awesome. You are only here because you did tshuva. That was the line, that you still did two horrible things wrong. Yeah.
Part of me, Shaul HaMelech, is his ability to do tshuva.
Exactly. So, you're 100% right. No, that's exactly it. That's what it means. If Shaul would have been David, because a David does tshuva. Right? A David does tshuva. Had David been like Shaul and wouldn't do tshuva, he wouldn't be a David. He would have been destroyed immediately. That's the idea behind it. That's how the Marshal learns it. There's a Meiri and Horius, and as well Ion Yaakov, that are regent versus a king. A king has more chances to succeed. A regent does not. Shaul HaMelech was a regent. There's a Ben Yishai and Ben Yehu. He doesn't understand it at all. He says, I don't understand that. Shaul chased after him for no reason. How could you do that? He says the following. He says he saw in another sefer that David HaMelech had the neshama of Hevel and Shaul HaMelech had the neshama of Kayin. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu to David HaMelech, had you been Kayin and he been Hevel, right? Now normally, Kayin chases after Hevel. I would have helped him kill you, even though he's chasing after you to kill you. I would have helped him chase after you so that Hevel could get revenge on Kayin. Isn't that a weird one? That's what I would have done, because Kayin spilled blood the first time. So had you been Kayin and him been Hevel, even though he's chasing after you, and I normally go with the one being chased after, I don't help the chaser, I help the chasee. But here, if it was the opposite, and you would have been Kayin, I would have allowed him to kill you. I would have been on his side. This is crazy. The Ben Yoyada says something also awesome, which deals with what we said before with the Navi and the Ruach HaKodesh thing. David HaMelech's Neshama was extremely holy. But before it was brought down to this world, it was in the depths of the klipos, says the Ben Yoyada. Still Ben Ish Chai, but in two different svarim. It was in the depths of the klipos, surrounded by tuma. It was so susceptible to the netios, to the swaying and leaning of the Yetzer Hara. And because of that, David HaMelech sinned. Because he was so susceptible. His neshama was mamish covered in filth. That neshama was there. And although he was able to fight it, and 99.9% of the time he was fine. No issues. But when it came to the forefront, when he was tested, he couldn't take it. And in that way, Shaul HaMelech was cleaner than David HaMelech, says the Ben Yoyada. He was cleaner. His neshama was a cleaner neshama than yours was, because he didn't have to go through what you went through. He didn't have to do what you had to do. Oh, such crazy stuff. Anybody knows the birth of David HaMelech? We talked about this not too long ago, where David HaMelech's mother, Nitzavet Bas Adol, refused to say who she was pregnant from. She refused. Tried fooling because Yishai didn't think he could be with Nitzavet, so he tried to be with this Shifra after he freed her, etc. The whole medrash about what happened with David HaMelech's birth, which is an amazing medrash, an absolutely amazing medrash. And Nitzavet, he was born down. He was born of the mazel of Madim, which is Mars. He was supposed to be a Shofech Damim. And he did become a Shofech Damim by killing people at war. He had red hair that was supposed to be there. Shaul HaMelech never had those challenges. David HaMelech had challenges that Shaul never had to go through. So in a way, Shaul was cleaner. Shaul was better. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if it was in any other way, if things would have been different, I would have killed you 1,000 times over. But you, David, have proven to be a tremendous chassid. So therefore, I allowed you to live. I allowed you to be saved. But don't think this is easy. Don't think it was just like that you were able to do it. So what should he have done here? And we'll end with this right over here. What should he have done? Oh, do you not sing Shira? The Gemara says, I'm upset at you for singing Shira. How could you have sung Shira, the downfall of Shaul HaMelech? What's he supposed to do? He was running away from Shaul HaMelech. He didn't want to kill Shaul. There was nothing he could do. So at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed Shaul. For David HaMelech, that was the best thing that could possibly have happened. He didn't have to worry about accidentally killing Shaul himself if Shaul would finally get him in a battle. Maybe that would have happened. He was finally able to get out of it. Well, and shouldn't you sing Shir when HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps you? So the Chazon Ish asks this question at the very, very end of Chelek Or HaChaim. Nachlas Shimon brings it. Nachlas Shimon, the Sefer HaNavi, brings this down. And he says, obviously, David HaMelech was unbelievably upset that Shaul HaMelech was killed. He mourned Shaul HaMelech. He gave a hesped for Shaul HaMelech. Maybe not the hesped that he should have given. He should have given a bigger hesped. But he did give a hesped for Shaul HaMelech, and he mourned him. He tore his clothing when he heard that Shaul was dead. In the beginning of Shmuel Beis, tore his clothing when he heard about it. There's no question that he was upset. And he, of course, thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking out of the dangerous situation that he was in up until that point. But there was a situation here. When a person dies and leaves an inheritance to his child, a large inheritance, you're in a bit of a quandary. Obviously, you say Baruch Dayana Emes because the person passed away. But you just inherited millions of dollars. So what bracha do you make on that? So the Gemara says you have to make a Dayana Emes and a Tov Vametiv. You got to make both. Because you got both at the same time. Now, when do you say those? Okay, obviously not at the funeral. You don't get up there and give us your hesped, Baruch Dayana Emes and Baruch Atov Vametiv. That's not the time to do it, obviously. Right? But that's you're in a bit of a situation there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told David he made a mistake. David Melech assumed he made the Dayana Emes, and here's my Tov Vametiv. My song that I'm singing is my Tov Vametiv. That's what I'm trying to do over here. And he said, there's a major difference here. If you're singing about the inheritance that you got, that you're now the king, you didn't mention Shaul at all. Just say, thank you, Hashem, for making me king over Klal Yisrael. Thank you, Hashem, for allowing me to have the awesomeness that I have right now, that I'm now the leader. Perfect. That you're allowed to do. You're allowed to sing about that. You said, Dayana Emes for Shaul. And you also went ahead and said, Baruch Atov Vametiv, that I'm now the king. Then it would have been fine. But you didn't. You did Dayana Emes for his death, and you did a Tov Vametiv for his death. This song is by Daber David. Lashem es Divra Ashir Azos, Biyom Hatzil Oso Hashem Oso, Mikaf Kol Evo Mikaf Shaul. You didn't have to mention Shaul. You mentioned Shaul HaMelech's name, that means that you have to be punished for that. You should just sing about the inheritance and not about anything else. And that is a good lesson for everybody. That when we do sing about the downfall of our enemies, there's no reason to mention our enemies unless it's specifically for a reason. Yes, we say Hitler Yimach Shemo was destroyed. The Nazis Yimach Shemo were destroyed. Because those were people that were evil incarnate. Those were a Amalek or whatever you want to call it. Those were absolute evil. When you're dealing with a Shaul HaMelech who may have been tremendously mistaken but was still a tzaddik gomer, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you cannot sing shir about that. You can't sing shir about that person's death. Yes, even though it's your life at stake. A tzaddik gomer is chasing after you to kill you. You're not allowed to sing shir at his death. Can't sing shir at his death. Could there possibly be something to sing shir about? Of course there's something to sing shir about. Of course. Sing shir about the fact that you're a melech. Don't sing shir about Shaul HaMelech's death. And that is what, according to the Chazon Ish, that was the problem. And that's the issue that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took with him singing shir over here. That's the idea, I think, behind the Gemara Moed Katan Tazayin Mabez as well. Okay, we'll stop with this, everybody. Have a great last days of Pesach.